Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present 9 Lives Down, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1: The Diagnosis That Changed Everything. I never feared dying. Not once. I spent decades dancing with death, pulling the trigger, and watching men beg for their last breath, while I walked away without so much as a flicker of remorse. But when the doctor sat me down, his face pale under the sickly fluorescent lights, and told me I had 6 months, maybe a year if I was lucky, something inside me twisted. Not because I was scared. Fear and I had parted ways a long time ago. It wasn't the thought of pain or rotting away that got to me. It was the fact that I still had unfinished business. Her name was Emily Monroe. My daughter. 15 years old. And she didn't even know I existed. That was by design. I kept my distance from her since the day she was born. Her mother, Sandra, wanted nothing to do with me, and I couldn't blame her. She was smart. Smart enough to leave before she got swallowed by the world I lived in. I let her go. Never chased. Never begged. But Emily? I should have fought for her. Instead, I watched from a distance as she bounced from one home to another, her life unraveling while I told myself it was for the best. But now the clock was ticking. The Grim Reaper was coming for me, and for once I gave a shit. Because if I died today, she'd never know the truth. And worse, she'd have nothing. No money. No protection. No way out. I needed a plan. And I needed money. Fast. That's where the irony of my job came in. See, I wasn't just some street thug running errands for low-level criminals. I was a contract killer. A professional. High-end clientele. No loose ends, no messy mistakes. People paid me to make their problems disappear. But now the rules were different. I wasn't taking jobs anymore. I was taking out the very people who had once hired me. The wealthy pricks, the backstabbing businessmen, the cartel financiers. All of them had once been clients. And now, they were funding Emily's escape. The first name on my list? Vincent Caldera. A money launderer with ties to every criminal enterprise in LA. The kind of guy who never got his hands dirty, but had bodies buried all over the city. I had done work for him before, eliminating witnesses, cleaning up his messes. But now, it was his turn to disappear. I spent 2 days tracking him down, watching his routine. The guy was a creature of habit. Every night, he hit the Rosewood Club, an exclusive members-only joint for the rich and corrupt. The kind of place where men smoked cigars, swirled expensive whiskey, and laughed like they weren't the worst scum in the world. I walked in like I belonged. No hesitation, no nerves. The bouncer barely gave me a second glance. Inside, the place reeked of old money and ego. Low jazz music, dim lights, the scent of overpriced cologne in the air. I spotted Vincent in his usual corner, a bottle of Macallan 25 on the table, his pudgy fingers wrapped around a crystal glass. He was mid-sip when he saw me. His entire body stiffened, the blood draining from his face so fast I thought he might pass out. "Jesus Christ," Vincent whispered, setting his glass down with a shaky hand. "What the fuck are you doing here?" I slid into the seat across from him, taking my time pouring myself a drink. "Nice to see you too, Vinny." "You shouldn't be here," he hissed, his eyes darting toward the bodyguards stationed across the room. His paranoia was amusing. Like those two idiots would stop me if I decided to put a bullet in his skull. "I'll make this quick," I said, taking a sip of the whiskey. "Smooth. You owe me." Vincent let out a humorless chuckle, but his hand trembled as he picked up his glass. "I paid you already. The job was clean." "Yeah," I nodded. "But now I need something else. Everything in your accounts. Offshore, hidden all of it." He blinked, staring at me like I had just sprouted horns. Then he laughed again, this time louder. "Forced. Fake. You're out of your goddamn mind. Do you know what would happen if I..." "Shut the fuck up," I said, my voice dropping to a low growl. The laughter died in his throat. I leaned in closer, lowering my voice just enough so only he could hear. "I'm dying, Vinny. and that means I don't give a fuck anymore. The realization hit him like a freight train. I could see it in his eyes, the moment he understood that I wasn't bluffing, that I wasn't walking out of here empty-handed. He swallowed hard. Please, man. I have a family. So do I. I cut him off, voice cold. And unlike you, I'm trying to save mine. He started to shake. Sweat beaded on his forehead. His lips parted, maybe to beg, maybe to offer some bullshit excuse. But I was done listening. I pulled my gun from under the table, pressed it against his stomach, and fired. The silencer muffled the shot. A soft thwip, barely loud enough to be noticed over the jazz. Vincent's eyes went wide. His mouth opened in a silent scream as blood spread across his shirt. He tried to speak, but all that came out was a wheezing gasp. I watched him slump forward, his body convulsing slightly before going still. No one noticed. I wiped the gun clean, pocketed it, and stood. No rush. No panic. Just another man leaving the club after a drink. By the time his guards noticed something was wrong, I was already outside, melting into the night. I slipped into my car, grabbed my phone, and checked the offshore transfer. $6.2 million. More than enough to buy Emily a way out. One step closer. I exhaled, the first real breath I had taken all day. Then, as I pulled away from the club, my phone buzzed with a new message. Another job. Another name. I opened it. And froze. Emily Monroe. My blood ran cold. Somebody wanted my daughter dead. And if I didn't act fast, someone else would take the job. Chapter 2, Blood Money and Old Ghosts. I stared at the screen, my heart pounding in my ears. Emily Monroe, $10 million payout. I had seen a lot of names cross my desk in this line of work. Politicians, CEOs, gang leaders, traders, informants, people who had enemies deep enough to put a price on their heads. But this? This wasn't some random hit. Someone wanted my daughter dead, and they were willing to pay more money than I had ever seen for it. My grip tightened around the phone until my knuckles turned white. The air in the car felt thick, suffocating. A part of me wanted to believe it was a mistake, that this was some sick joke. But I knew better. There were no coincidences in my world. This was intentional. I tapped the screen, tracing the contract's details. Anonymous client. Standard protocol. The job was open, which meant any trigger-happy psychopath looking for a payday could take it. If I didn't move fast, someone else would. I shoved my phone in my pocket and floored the gas, tires screeching against the pavement as I pulled onto the main road. I needed answers. And I needed them now. There was only one person who could give them to me. Marlene Bishop. The one who knew everything. Marlene was the kind of woman who didn't just know secrets, she controlled them. She wasn't a hitman, but she was worse. A fixer. The kind of person powerful men called when things went sideways. She covered up their crimes, buried bodies, cleaned up loose ends. And she did it without ever getting her hands dirty. I had worked with her before. Hell, I had even considered her a friend once. But tonight, there was no room for sentimentality. I pulled up to the Bishop Towers, a luxury high-rise in downtown LA that doubled as Marlene's fortress. It wasn't just an apartment, it was a goddamn stronghold. Bulletproof windows. Armed guards at the entrance. State-of-the-art security. None of that was going to stop me. I parked two blocks away, ditching the car in an alley. Walking in the front door wasn't an option, so I took the back route, climbing the fire escape until I reached the 15th floor. I pried open a maintenance hatch and slipped inside. Marlene's penthouse was on the top floor. I had 30 seconds to disable the cameras before they flagged me. I moved fast, hugging the shadows as I made my way down the corridor. A guard stood outside the private elevator. Big guy, thick neck, standard-issue earpiece. I grabbed him from behind, wrapping an arm around his throat and squeezing tight. He thrashed, trying to break free, but I held firm, cutting off his air until his body went limp. I dragged him into the stairwell, stripped his access card, and swiped it at the elevator panel. The doors slid open, and I stepped inside. As the elevator climbed, I rolled my shoulders, cracking my neck. Marlene was smart. She would know I was coming. The doors opened to a dimly lit penthouse, the scent of expensive perfume mixing with the faint burn of whiskey. Marlene stood by the floor-to-ceiling window, holding a glass of wine, watching the city lights like she owned them. She didn't even turn when I stepped inside. "You're late," she said, taking a slow sip. I walked toward her, my boots heavy against the marble floor. "Cut the bullshit, Marlene. Who put the contract on Emily?" She sighed, setting her glass down. I was wondering when you'd find out. My fingers twitched against my gun. Answer me. She turned, her expression unreadable. You already know. My stomach twisted. You expect me to believe it was Sandra? I scoffed. The same woman who wanted me out of Emily's life to keep her safe? Marlene gave a humorless chuckle. You still don't get it, do you? She crossed her arms. Sandra's not the one who ordered the hit. But she sure as hell set it in motion. I clenched my jaw. Explain. Marlene walked over to the bar, refilling her glass. After you disappeared, Sandra got into trouble. Big trouble. She took money from people she shouldn't have. When she couldn't pay them back, she made a deal. My blood ran cold. What kind of deal? Emily, Marlene said simply. They let Sandra off the hook in exchange for Emily's future. And now that Emily is old enough, they're cashing in. I couldn't breathe. Emily wasn't just a target. She was a debt payment. The room felt too small, my vision tunneling. I had spent my whole life making sure she never got pulled into my world, only to find out she had been marked from the beginning. I took a slow, measured breath. Who are they? Marlene hesitated. That was a mistake. I grabbed the back of her chair and flipped it, sending her sprawling to the floor. Before she could react, I had my gun pressed against her temple. Don't test me, Marlene, I growled. She closed her eyes, then exhaled. The Hollow Syndicate. They're the ones pulling the strings. The name sent a chill down my spine. The Hollow Syndicate wasn't just some gang. They were a ghost network, a group of high-level operatives who handled the kind of jobs no one else would touch. Their specialty? Human trafficking, assassination, blackmail. If they had their sights set on Emily, she was already as good as dead. Unless I got to her first. I lowered my gun. Where is she? Marlene hesitated again. Wrong move. I pistol-whipped her across the face, hard enough to split her lip. Where the fuck is she? I snarled. She groaned, blood trickling down her chin. She's in a foster home. Under an alias. They've been watching her, waiting for the right moment to grab her. My entire body tensed. And you knew. Marlene looked at me, her eyes dark. I was trying to keep her off the radar. But you killed Vincent. That sent up red flags. Now the syndicate knows you're in play. I stepped back, running a hand through my hair. This was my fault. By killing Vincent and draining his accounts, I had put a target on my back. And now, Emily was in the crosshairs. I turned to leave. You won't make it in time, Marlene called after me. I paused. You don't know what you're up against, she continued, wiping the blood from her mouth. You go after them alone, you're dead before you get through the door. I looked over my shoulder. Then I guess I'll have to make sure they don't see me coming. Marlene smiled, something between admiration and pity. You always were a stubborn son of a bitch. I didn't respond. I had a daughter to save, and I was running out of time. Chapter 3. The One Who Got Away. I had been in the business long enough to know when the walls were closing in. That sickening tension in the air, the feeling of eyes watching from the shadows, the way my every move felt predicted. Like I was already dead and just waiting for the bullet to find me. That's what it felt like now. But this wasn't about me anymore. Emily was out there, completely unaware of the storm coming her way. She didn't know who I was. She didn't know why these people wanted her. And if I didn't get to her first, she'd be gone before she even had a chance to fight back. I drove through the night, gripping the wheel so tight my knuckles turned white. My mind raced through the possibilities. The Hollow Syndicate wasn't the kind of enemy you ran from. They were ghosts. No faces. No weaknesses. Just a network of ruthless killers, traffickers, and criminals who operated in the shadows. Marlene had said they'd been watching Emily. Waiting. Which meant they weren't just going to kill her. No, this was worse. This was a debt being collected. The idea made my stomach churn. I had seen what happened to people taken by the Hollow Syndicate. They didn't just vanish. They ceased to exist, erased, swallowed whole by the darkness, used and discarded like they had never mattered. That wasn't going to happen. I wouldn't let it. Even if I had to burn down the entire city to stop it. The foster home. Emily had been placed in a state-run foster home under the alias Rachel Carter. A generic name for a girl forced into a life she never asked for. She had been moved 4 times in the last 2 years, shuffled between homes like she was just another case file in a broken system. Her current residence was a 2-story house in Riverside, just outside of Los Angeles. A quiet neighborhood, too quiet. I parked down the street, blending into the darkness as I watched the house. No movement inside. No guards. No obvious security. But I knew better. They were watching, waiting for the perfect moment. The syndicate wouldn't risk snatching her in broad daylight. They would wait until she was alone, vulnerable. And by the time anyone noticed she was missing, they'd be long gone. I wasn't about to let that happen. I stepped out of the car, adjusting my coat. My gun was tucked under my belt, a silencer already screwed on. My knife was strapped to my ankle. Quiet. Efficient. Final. As I approached the house, I kept my steps light, my ears tuned for any sign of movement. The air was still, thick with tension. The front door was locked. I took the side entrance, picking the lock in under 30 seconds. Inside, the house smelled of stale coffee and cheap cleaning products. The kind of place that wasn't a home, just a temporary stop before kids got thrown into the next miserable situation. I moved through the hallway, past darkened rooms filled with sleeping kids. Where was she? Then I saw it, a cracked door at the end of the hall, faint light spilling through. I stepped inside. Emily sat on the edge of her bed, legs crossed, staring at an old, beaten-up Polaroid picture in her hands. Her face was hard, but her eyes? They were tired. I had seen that look before. She was waiting for something. Or someone. Who the fuck are you? She asked, her voice sharp like a blade. I froze. She hadn't even flinched when I entered. She had heard me. That wasn't normal. You don't recognize me, I said, stepping forward. Her grip on the picture tightened. You broke into my fucking room. Try again. I took a slow breath. I'm your father. Silence. A long, painful silence. Then she laughed. Cold. Empty. Bitter. That's a new one, she said. Most guys just try to rob me. She didn't believe me. I couldn't blame her. You're in danger, I said. We don't have time for this. Her eyes narrowed. What kind of danger? The kind that doesn't leave loose ends. She tilted her head, studying me. You talk like a killer. I met her gaze. I am one. For the first time, her expression shifted, just slightly. A flicker of something behind her eyes. Recognition. Understanding. You're serious, she whispered. I nodded. Then, before I could say another word, the window shattered. Gunfire exploded through the house. The attack. I grabbed Emily, yanking her to the floor as bullets ripped through the walls. Stay down. I barked. She didn't scream. She didn't cry. She just moved, her instincts kicking in like she had seen this before. More gunshots. Shouts outside. Shadows moving in the darkness. They were here. I pulled my gun, peering through the shattered window. Three men. Armed. Coordinated. They weren't here to warn us. They were here to finish the job. I moved fast, firing off two rounds. The first missed, but the second caught a guy in the throat. He dropped like a fucking rock, gurgling as blood spilled across the pavement. Emily flinched, but didn't make a sound. Smart kid. I grabbed her wrist. Move. We sprinted down the hallway, dodging bullets as the walls splintered behind us. I kicked open the back door, pulling her outside, just as another wave of gunfire erupted from the street. A black SUV was parked at the curb, headlights flashing. More of them. We were outnumbered. Outgunned. And we had seconds before they closed in. I turned to Emily. Do you trust me? She hesitated. Then, for some insane reason, she nodded. I tossed her the keys to my car. Run. Now. Her eyes widened. What about you? I turned, raising my gun. I'll catch up. She wanted to argue. I saw it in her face. But she didn't. She grabbed the keys and bolted. I turned back to the gunman, rolling my shoulders. They thought this was an execution, but they had no idea who the fuck they were dealing with. I stepped forward, my grip tightening around the trigger. Come on, you motherfuckers, I muttered. And then I opened fire. Chapter 4, A Father's Last Mission. Gunfire lit up the night, bullets tearing through the alley as I took cover behind a rusted dumpster. The air reeked of piss and garbage, the sound of my pulse hammering in my ears. My gun was warm in my hand, the slide slick from the sweat on my fingers. Six shots left. The men from the Hollow Syndicate weren't amateurs. They moved with precision, covering angles, cutting off escape routes. They knew how to kill. But they didn't know me. A shadow moved to my left. I fired before the bastard even saw me coming. The bullet punched through his temple, sending him crashing into the pavement. Five left. Come on, Monroe, a voice called out. Let's not make this harder than it has to be. I peeked around the corner. Two guys, moving in from the street, their steps slow, methodical. They thought they had me pinned. Idiots. I grabbed a piece of broken brick from the ground and hurled it toward a nearby dumpster. The clang echoed through the alley. The moment they turned their heads, I moved. I came in fast, gun up. The first guy barely had time to react before I shot him in the throat, his body jerking violently as he collapsed. The second one spun, raising his rifle. Too slow. I grabbed his barrel, twisted hard, forcing it to the side as I drove my knife into his ribs, twisting it deep. He gasped, his eyes bulging in shock. I yanked the blade out, letting him slump to the ground. Three left, but I didn't have time to finish them. Emily was still out there, and she was running straight into a goddamn trap. The escape route. I sprinted down the alley, boots pounding against the concrete. My car was a few blocks away. If she made it there, she had a chance. I reached for my phone as I ran, dialing the burner number I had programmed into her key fob. It rang twice before she picked up. "Where the fuck are you?" I barked. "Driving," she snapped back, the sound of wind whipping through the speaker. "What the hell is going on? Who the fuck were those people?" "Don't stop, Emily. Keep going. Get to the freeway. Do not pull over. Do not." The line went dead. My stomach twisted. I pushed harder, sprinting full speed toward the street. A black SUV roared past, tires screeching. I caught a glimpse of Emily inside, struggling in the back seat, her fists pounding against the window. "No. No," I shouted, drawing my gun. "Too far." The SUV sped away, disappearing around the corner. I stood there, my chest heaving, hands trembling with fury. They had her. They had my daughter. Hunting the hunters. I had spent my entire life killing other people's problems. Now I was my own. I didn't stop to think. Didn't hesitate. I stole a car off the street, hotwired it in under 60 seconds, and floored the gas. The Hollow Syndicate wouldn't take Emily far. They operated in secrecy, always in places they controlled, places where the cops wouldn't look, where the bodies never surfaced. I ran through the possibilities. If they wanted her dead, they would have killed her at the house. But they took her alive. That meant she was valuable. That meant I still had time. I pulled out my phone, dialing the one person I never thought I'd have to call again. Marlene picked up after the first ring. "You sound pissed, Monroe." "They took my daughter," I growled. "I need a location." A pause. Then she sighed. "You're not gonna like the answer. Try me. They're taking her to the pit." My grip tightened on the wheel. The pit wasn't a place. It was a sentence. An abandoned shipping yard on the outskirts of the city. A place where people went in and never came out. It was where the Hollow Syndicate broke people. My hands shook with rage. "I'm going in. Monroe." I hung up. I didn't need advice. I needed revenge. The pit. I drove like a fucking maniac, the car fishtailing as I tore through back roads and industrial zones, the city lights shrinking in my rearview mirror. The pit loomed in the distance, a massive, rotting graveyard of metal containers, rusted cranes, and forgotten cargo. I killed the headlights and pulled up just out of range. There were at least a dozen guards stationed around the perimeter, their movements careful, methodical. They weren't just thugs. They were trained killers. And I was about to kill them all. I climbed onto one of the shipping containers, crouching low, scanning the yard. Then I heard her. Emily. Muffled. Struggling. Inside one of the containers. They hadn't moved her yet. Good. I moved fast. Quiet. Deadly. The first guard never saw me. My knife slid across his throat, his body dropping silently into the dirt. The second turned just in time for me to put a bullet in his eye socket. I worked through them, one by one, until the yard was littered with bodies. Then, I reached the container. I placed my hand against the metal. "Emily." Silence. Then, "Dad." The sound of her voice almost broke me. I grabbed the lock, braced myself, and fired, the metal shattering under the bullet. I ripped the door open. Emily was inside, bound, bruised, but alive. She stared at me, her face pale, eyes wide with disbelief. Then she did something that almost made me fall apart. She smiled. "You took your time," she whispered. I reached down, cutting her free. "Let's get the fuck out of here." But just as I turned, a gunshot rang out. Pain exploded through my side. I staggered, my vision blurring as a figure stepped out of the shadows. A man in a suit, his silver pistol still smoking. He smiled. "Monroe," he said. "You should have stayed dead." Emily screamed. My knees hit the dirt. Blood poured from my wound. And for the first time in my life, I thought I was going to lose. Chapter 5, The Final Bullet. Pain lanced through my side, hot and deep, as my vision blurred. The metallic taste of blood filled my mouth, and my knees hit the dirt hard. But I wasn't dead. Not yet. Emily's scream cut through the air, sharp and terrified. My body screamed at me to move, but the weight of the wound slowed me down. My fingers dug into the ground, blood soaking into the dry earth beneath me. The man in the suit, the one who shot me, stepped closer, his polished shoes crunching over loose gravel. "Monroe," he said, his voice smooth and disgustingly amused. "I have to say, I didn't expect you to come charging in here like some kind of goddamn action hero." His gun was still trained on me, unwavering. "Do I know you?" I rasped, forcing myself to straighten. He smirked, his free hand adjusting his tie. "No, but I know you." He tilted his head, studying me like I was some kind of lab experiment gone wrong. "Ex-military. Ex-hitman. The guy who walked away from the business and left a lot of loose ends behind. You really thought you could just disappear?" I ground my teeth, pressing a hand to my wound. The bullet was deep, but not fatal, at least not yet. "What do you want?" I asked, my voice strained. The man clicked his tongue. "Oh, it's not about what I want, Monroe. It's about what you took. You owe the Hollow Syndicate. And debts," he took another step closer, "don't go unpaid." Emily was still frozen behind me, her breath coming in sharp, ragged gasps. I could feel her fear radiating off her like heat from a dying fire. I needed to get her out of here. I needed a way out of this fucking mess. The game was rigged. "You want money?" I rasped, buying time. "I have it." The man let out a quiet chuckle. "That's adorable. You think this is about money?" His expression darkened. "You killed Vincent Caldera. You wiped out Marlene Bishop. You gutted half our network in a week. And now you're sitting here, bleeding in the dirt, still thinking you have something to bargain with." He raised his gun and pointed it at Emily. "Here's the real offer, Monroe." His smile was cold, empty. "I kill your daughter. Or you do." My breath stopped. "Let's be honest," he continued, eyes gleaming. "You were never going to get out of this alive." "But her?" He shrugged. "She might. If you make the right choice." My fingers curled into fists. My body ached, but rage surged through me, drowning out the pain. "You motherfucker," I snarled. He grinned. Tick-tock. Emily was silent. She hadn't moved, but I could feel her gaze burning into me, waiting. She wasn't crying. She wasn't begging. She was waiting. For me. And that's when I knew. I wasn't dying tonight. Not until I made sure this son of a bitch was dead first. The last move. I shifted, wincing as I lowered my hands. Defeated. Or at least, that's what I let him think. The man's smile widened. "That's more like it," he said, stepping closer, lowering his gun ever so slightly. "Go on. Make it quick." My left hand twitched, just enough to catch Emily's eye. A signal. She didn't hesitate. In an instant, she dropped to her knees, reaching for the discarded pistol near her feet, one of the dead guard's weapons. The man's eyes flickered in surprise. I moved. Faster than my injuries should have allowed, I lunged, slamming into him with everything I had left. His gun fired, but he missed. I drove my shoulder into his ribs, forcing him backward, my hands scrambling for his weapon. We hit the ground hard, rolling across the dirt, my vision flashing white hot with pain. He snarled, throwing a wild punch that cracked against my jaw. I barely felt it. I slammed my elbow into his throat, forcing him onto his back, straddling him, pinning his arm beneath my knee. His gun clattered away. Now he was mine. I wrapped my hands around his throat and squeezed. He choked, gasping, his hands clawing at my wrists. His polished suit was soaked in blood, my blood. His eyes bulged, panic setting in as he realized I wasn't stopping. His body jerked beneath me, legs kicking. But I held firm. I watched the life drain from his eyes. Until there was nothing left. Until he stopped moving. Until he was gone. The end of the line. I collapsed beside his lifeless body, sucking in ragged breaths. My hands were shaking, slick with sweat and blood. My vision blurred at the edges. Emily was still there, still alive. She stared at me, her expression unreadable. Then, slowly, she walked toward me, stopping just inches away. Her voice was quiet, almost hesitant. "Are you going to die?" I let out a weak, breathless chuckle. "Not today." Her lips pressed into a thin line. She hesitated. Then, in a move that nearly broke me, she reached down, grabbing my arm, pulling me up. I groaned, my body screaming in protest, but I let her help me stand. "Come on," she muttered, "before more of those fuckers show up." I blinked at her. She cursed. That was my kid, all right. The road ahead. We made it to my car. I didn't look back. The Hollow Syndicate would come for us. I knew that. But now, we weren't running anymore. We were fighting back. And I would burn every last one of them to the ground before I let them take Emily from me again. She looked at me as we sped down the empty highway, the city lights fading behind us. What now? She asked. I glanced at her. And I smiled. Now we kill them all. The end.